Jared Ethan Black. The Faith of Jesus, the Shema, Part 2. Good morning yet again. Jesus is confronted in Mark 12 by a young lawyer, which means a purveyor, a student of the Torah, not so much the legal code of the land. And the question is asked, so what really is the greatest commandment? The question isn't framed to ask, like, what's number one? It really was more of a question of what's the essence of the law? What's the essence of Torah? What's the essence of God's interaction with us? And Jesus, without skipping a beat, obviously knows the answer. He's been reciting it ever since he was a lad. And it's the great Shema. It's found in Deuteronomy. And it's, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Jesus actually says four things there, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, depending on which account you're reading. Don't let that shake you. It's just a Hebrew thing. Jesus likely was quoting this in Hebrew, regardless of what language he was intended to be speaking at the time. They would quote their scriptures in the native tongue. And to say this widely accepted understanding, it has power and force. It is the cultural propeller of the entire Hebrew people. It had been instilled in them since the days in the desert that this is what you learn. You start here, you never leave here, you end here. In fact, there are accounts of rabbis at different times through history where there's been persecution or elimination attempts. And one rabbi in particular, Rabbi Akiva, which was also a first century rabbi, he was rounded up and killed for proclaiming Torah. And it is said that his disciples listened as he was being tortured. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone." And the disciples communicate with him, "Rabbi, even now? Even now?" And his response was, "I've lived my entire life wondering if in this moment I could love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, and strength." And then he died. To say that this is to be taken seriously is probably a grand understatement. The idea of loving God with all that you are is not only a command, it strangely is a promise. You'll read it, and it will read, and Hebrew is a little different than the other languages in that the tenses are sometimes implied, and other times they just aren't always intended. But it is, "And you shall." And you shall love the Lord your God. You could almost look at it like sort of as a future thing. Like, one day you will love the Lord your God. If it's implied at all that way, it's secondary. Although when you know the story, when you know the entirety of Scripture and the trajectory of it, for us it's not hard to land on, there is a day where every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. That's a pretty potent statement. But for now, in Jesus, as he's answering this query, we talked last time about the beginning, the "Hear, O Israel." To hear is, it implies the action that results from hearing. The verbs are always packed with the action that's there, and strangely, so are the nouns. Hebrew is, we said, a poor language in the fact that it has fewer words than many languages, so that the words used require multiple inferences. the words carry with them a lot of meat. And so you don't have the benefit of a one-to-one translation, certainly when you're taking Hebrew to English. And so, you know, if you've ever wondered, why are there so many Bible translations? We got, you know, the New Century Version and the King James Version, the New King James Version. We've got the New American Standard, the New International Version. We've got the New Revised Standard, because it was an addition to the Revised Standard. All of these translations really result from the fact that when you're taking original language and you try and put it in words, you have options. And so a Bible translation committee will choose options based on their framework and understanding of which way the scriptures go. It shouldn't rattle you too much. You really can find your way and navigate now quite easily through what a passage is saying and likely what it's not saying, even if you have a poor translation. But when you get to that second part of here, which is really the first answer Jesus is giving, it's not just, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, I God, the Lord alone." The greatest commandment contains, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's it. That's the essence of it. To love, in Hebrew, there was a time, I think I brought a whiteboard in here. Okay, to love, this is the word ahav in Hebrew. And the word ahav, it's a picture word. It gives you the action that's intended. Yes, it means to love, but so that we, in our Americanized 21st century psychologically informed notions, so that we don't get hung up on what love is, we might think love is a bit of a momentary emotional outburst from within. Like I attach from my in parts of love, like I love a book, or I love a movie. We use the word, not flippantly, we just use it for a lot of things. In Hebrew, the word for love, it forms a picture, and I wish I had my whiteboard here, I would just show you it. But literally, you could translate it to love, to ahav, is to reveal the Father. And there's this deep attachment of loving God is this. You're zeloming God. You are imaging God. To love is to actually have it birth out of you. You reveal the Father to everything that's around you. And how does that happen? Well, it happens first or foremost, or within this course, in the heart, the love. It's in the heart, and it would be understood the heart is not just the romantic emotional center of a person, which we often use that language. But it's, I mean, think about, you know, just in, you know, sort of basic physiology, everyone would have understood that there is an organ in my body that moves. I can feel it. And so it was definitely tied to emotions, but it was really more tied to that inner reality, that inner life, that which is working its way out. Because if I get angry, or if I get emotional, if I get excited, this thing starts to move. And as it moves, it creates energy. It creates this idea. So that to love with all your heart isn't just like some sort of, you know, affection. Like, "Aw, that's a cute puppy." You know, like, it's not that so much as it is, I love God with the inner workings, which would include my thoughts. It would include that which comes out of me. The second is similar, the idea of your soul, to love with all your soul. Again, this is just we hear the word soul, and there's probably variant ideas of what that really is. The Hebrew word there is nephesh, and the nephesh is not quite our Greek understanding of soul. The nephesh is your life force. I like to say it this way. It's that which animates you. So it's going to contain your personality. It's going to contain those strengths and weaknesses of you. It's going to contain your skill set. It's going to contain the things you learn. Like, your nephesh is that which animates you, uniquely you. So you've got your heart, which is sort of that center part of who you are. Your nephesh is that energy that comes out of you, your life force. And then the strangest of all is it says it this way. This is the literal rendering. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your very. That's all it says. Actually, it doesn't use the word for strength at all. It uses very, meod. It's the accentuator like we would use it. I'm very hungry. I'm very thirsty. I'm doing very well. Tov meod. And I mean, of course, anytime you have something that's strange like this, it just creates people to, they read it, when you understand what you're reading, you go, huh? I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my very. What does that mean? Well, it means a lot. It's like this mystery that gets to be unpacked, and it's one of those words that it's so brilliant, really, when you think of it. It's why in other subsequent readings, maybe when Jesus is quoting, it's why you can get mind and strength out of it. It's why you can get sort of this understanding of all your very what? Exactly. I mean, that's kind of the answer. And so strength, certainly, like with, you know, maybe I think someone said, you know, it's all your oomph. It's just all that gusto. They're all related, of course. The whole idea is you and I are called through the Shema to love the Lord our God with everything that we are, have, and do. There should be nothing outside of that. That doesn't mean you can't go play games. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy all the sides of life that are offered to you. But the idea is that in everything you do, when you get up and when you lie down, you are processing. Your life is the very expression of loving the Lord your God. That's the idea. And so certainly, live well, but with all your very, with everything that's there. Strength, of course, your mind, yes. Your will, yes. Your emotions, your actions, your behaviors, your thoughts, your reading and your writing, your sleeping and your waking, your performing, your singing, your dancing, your drumming, your piano playing, your silence, your contemplating, your friendships, your extension to those that are not like you. Jesus will even go so far as to say, hey, love your enemies. Jesus is very unique in that statement. What's he saying? He's coming right out of the Shema. With all your very, even your enemies, even those that hate you, they get from you the very essence of who God is. And so you love your enemies with all your very. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Everything is encompassed in it. The young lawyer who asked Jesus this question is satisfied, of course, with this answer. I mean, it's the core. It is that which emanates out of the Scriptures. And there's more to it that we're going to get into. But for now, I want you just to ponder. This is a good time to just take a breath and ponder through the remainder of this week, certainly. And on the weekend, I want that idea of specifically your very. I want you to bring something to the party. What is it that specifically animates you that even that is a part of the course and action of your ability to love God, to ahav God, to reveal the Father inside and out to everyone around you, certainly, but in your community, in your otherness, and those that aren't you, that you interact with, it's actually beautifully simple. The command and orientation of God in us, with us, through us is very simple. It is to have the mind, have the heart, have the body, to love the Lord your God, to reveal that essence of who God is with your very-ness. And then Jesus gives the second part of it, which opens up an entirely new way of thinking and understanding. And we'll save that for next time. Let me pray for you and us together. Father, this community, this Lord, it is a precious, precious, beautiful gift. I pray that each student family learns, practices, endeavors to love well. And our community here would be one that emanates the love of God for each other and for others. In Jesus' name.
So many questions in my head, it's like a carousel spinning. Just when I think I'm at the end, I find I'm at the beginning. Well, if I had the chance to ask him, would I even know where to start? Yeah. Would I ask them chronologically right from the creation? Would I start with the finale, the book of Revelation? Maybe I should stop my thinking, let the questions flow from my